Great. Just want to, some of you may be aware or not aware that our young people, these people to my right, to your left, and some in the congregation as well, they've been away at a place called Soul Survivor. It's a field with lots of mud, with lots of young people worshipping God, and it's been a fantastic time, not just for our young people, but for many young people across this nation these last few weeks. And so we rejoice, not just with them, but we rejoice with God's kingdom. I'm on a group of people that sort of get emails a lot about Soul Survivor from the senior leadership, and they had a meeting just this morning, and just they've got so many stories just to give thanks to God for his goodness of what they've done, what God has done over the last couple of weeks. And I just want to invite Pete to come, and he's going to bring some of our young people to share some stories. But all I want to say is not all of our young people will speak tonight, but some will. And for those that don't, I want to encourage you over the next few weeks to have the courage to talk to us. I know that some, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I know that some of you over on my right gave your life to Jesus last week, and we rejoice with you. Okay? So I'm not going to embarrass you, but I rejoice with you. Myself and the other senior leadership, we made it a priority when you were away to devote you to prayer for a couple of hours each day. And I wasn't surprised of how faithful God was to us when Pete texted me and told me all the stories, and it just encouraged me and the other senior elders to not just pray for 2 hours a day, but pray more. And so we are really delighted. You know who you are, and I pray that as you worship tonight, it's a different type of worship, isn't it? Because you've really encountered Jesus, so we rejoice with you. But Pete, share some stories with us. Yeah. And you find...
I just want to say it was just an awesome week. Just the group and just the time there was great. Despite the weather, despite the fact that the marquee nearly blew away on the first night, but thanks to some ingenuity between myself and Andy Brown, our storm breakers managed to hold it in place. Everything else had fallen apart, but everything. But despite that, we just had a great time together. Just to give you a perspective of the numbers that Scott was talking about, over the four different Soul Survivor events, about 1,600 people get committed their lives to Christ. So that's 4 weeks of that in that time that did it. And in the week C where we were, what was quite unusual, and I think they found it hard, was when they asked at the beginning, whose first Soul Survivor is this? And literally 2/3 of the marquee of the whole big top stood up to say that was their first time to something like that. And actually, that is testament to the fact that people are bringing them there to try and help them to understand a bit more about God and experience God a little bit more. I'm not going to talk very much about what some of the guys can talk about, because it was their experience as much as it was ours, and we were just privileged to be part of that, privileged to be there to encourage them and to cry with them and to laugh with them. And just thinking of those 11 that come still brings a tear to my eye right now, because it's just so awesome. So these guys are just going to share something. I don't know what they're going to say, but that's completely up to them. Who wants to go first? Go on, buddy.
I'll go. Okay. Yeah. Hiya, for those of you who probably don't know me, I'm Paige Newton. Got my dad over there, embarrass him. The last 4 months have probably been the most difficult I've found, and I was kind of like leading myself, trying to get myself back into God and trying to get back into coming to church, doing all these type of things. And I thought, I can't wait for Soul Survivor, because that's going to be when I kind of pull myself back together. I'm going to get everyone with me, all my youth leaders, everyone out there, to kind of help me find my way back to Christ. And fortunately, that happened for me. I'd recommitted myself back to Christ. And it was probably one of the most emotional weekends for me, and I'm sure some of the leaders too. Sorry, guys. But yeah, so it was really, in like, undescribable how amazing it felt to be stood there with all these other Christians kind of say, yes, I'm coming back to God. Yes, this is what I want. This is what I've always wanted. This is what God wants for me. And kind of it's helped me work out a lot of things of my life that I thought was so, I felt so confused, felt so trapped. I felt just, I just was able to be set free by God. And it was really amazing for me. Yeah, that's kind of it.
Sorry, Danny. I haven't really prepared anything, but all I can say is that I think Soul Survivor gave me the opportunity just to build closer bonds with like the youth group, and I've become better friends with people like Andy and Jack, who are my best mates. Anyway, got the opportunity after the meeting at 4:30 a.m. Sorry, Pete. walking around that time, just talking about God and life and everything, just really, just find out more about each other and about God and telling stories. And I think one thing was really, really simple, and it's not amazing, but to me, I found it really like stuck with me, was the fact that I just sat down during the worship and kind of put my hands out and prayed. And I just, for some reason, wanted to be on a cloud with God just to feel calm and everything. And then I felt a hand go on my shoulder, and it was Jack's. And at the end, I turned to him and was like, what did you pray for? He's like, oh, I just prayed that you'd be on a cloud. I was like, why'd you do that? I was like, don't know, I just felt like I had to. So there we go. So, yeah, I was on a cloud, so that happened. But that was great.
It wasn't my first Soul Survivor this year, but I feel like it was one of the most important times of my life, kind of connecting with Jesus, really. I feel like the last year or so, I've been quite distant and trying to figure myself out willfully. See, we're starting college, new friends and new experiences and things. And I just loved it, to be honest. First few days I was a little bit, just kind of getting into it. But by the end, it was amazing. And I found it quite difficult to come to a realisation that I kind of wanted to know God more and come closer to him, really. And I was quite amazed when I got home, because we had a prophecy team come see us on, when was it, like the Tuesday or something, so the day before we came back. And they said something about seeing me in the future being a voice for people, and I was quite amazed when I got home that I was just kind of on my phone a little bit, and just I got kind of like a word just to write in to the search bar a Bible verse, really, and it just totally connected with what the prophecy team said. And it was quite a scary but emotional time for me to have that sort of word, and it's the first time it's happened, so I just feel like this year's Soul Survivor has really brought me closer to Jesus. So yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really know what we're going to say, but I think both of us had a lot of crying and a bit of laughing and a bit of shaking and a bit of that, but
a lot of shaking,
yeah.
It's our first time at Soul Survivor, I think.
Yeah.
And the worship really like grabbed us. It was quite intense. Yeah. We really enjoyed it. Yeah, basically.
Thank you.
And it was that. It was not just the worship, but it was what was said, and it was the opportunity to talk and allow God to speak to us that impacted on everybody. I had one person say to me when I was chatting to them, these 5 days have done more to me than actually being in church for the last 10 years. And that's because of where he was, but that's just significant. And he was one of those guys that went up and made a commitment to Christ at the end of it. So the journey has just begun in terms of where we are with the young people and their journey as a group. And we just really would ask you to continue to pray for them, just that God would continue to encourage them, that we would continue to encourage them as part of their family. And really, we just allow them to grow in whatever God's got in store for them. So thank you guys for the prayers, but it's not over. Thank you very much.
Well done, guys. Well done. Shaking. Bless you, mate. Well done, well done. That's great, isn't it? Well done. Great. It's on nights like tonight you like being a pastor. Praise God. Kind of blows my sermon to pot, what you've all just shared, but never mind. I'll modify it as we go. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Great, and like I said, I think tonight's message is probably quite helpful for you and for us. And before we do that, just a couple of things just to say. First of all, Daniel is induction. Daniel Hatfield and Christina coming on, coming in a couple of weeks' time on the 12th of September, but start work on the 14th. Just as a note there, Daniel will be having a Friday off, just so you know, when he arrives. And I'll be having a Friday off as well. So those who thought I had a Monday off, that's changed into a Friday from now on. So Daniel's induction's on the 24th of September, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, followed by a tea. Just want to invite as many of you as possible to come to that. Also, in terms of life groups, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Would you just give it a go? That's all I want to say. Obviously, come back to life group things to sort out, but just give it a go. If you're not in a life group, speak to Colin and Caroline. That is the main way you're going to be pastorally supported at Radio Baptist Church. So we want you all to be connected in some way. Also, I shared it this morning, share it again this evening, no real change. Arthur Rivers, who's 95, one of our oldest church members who is gravely ill at the moment, I spent some time with him yesterday afternoon with his family. Just want to ask you to continue to pray for him. No real change this afternoon. But their prayer is simply that God would be gracious to him and take him to his presence. And that's what Arthur wants. I was with Arthur yesterday in his around his bed with tears. And he simply just wants to go home. He's fought the good fight. So pray for the family and pray for him. You know, I was struck yesterday, no matter how strong our faith can be in those last moments when we're conscious and we know what's happening to us, it still is hard, isn't it? Still is really hard. So let's just pray for peace for him as in God's perfect time he'll go to be in that glorious place where we'll all go one day. And so let's look at God's word tonight. We'll continue the series on Proverbs. We've got two more to go this evening. And then next week, I'll be going to be looking at a proverb on parenting. don't know if I'm going to be justified to do that, but I'll share some thoughts from Scripture with regard to that. And then in our evening services, we're going to start looking at some of the hard questions that Jesus asked us to do, some of the hard things that Jesus asked us to do. So in the evenings, we're going to be looking at the hard sayings of Jesus through September, October, and November. And there's some really hard ones. Turn the other cheek. Forgive people. Give up everything and follow me. Give to the needy and the poor. And don't treasure up things for yourself, etc., etc. So we're going to do that in the evening. And the latter part of September, we're going to start a series talking about it's time to get the tools out of the toolbox. And we're going to be looking at our gifts that God has given to us for his kingdom, both spiritual gifts and physical gifts that we need to use to build his kingdom. But the proverb for tonight is simply this, Proverbs 20, verse 29. And I know that since I've been away, you've done Proverbs on drunkenness and all sorts. I've heard the stories. But tonight's proverb simply says this, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of the young man is their strength, grey hair, the splendor of the old. Now, we could also change that and say the glory of the young woman is their strength and grey hair or the splendor of the old. And that's the verse that we've got tonight. So I want to just talk a little bit about that. I have got some grey hair, so I feel eligible to talk about it, but I also feel fairly youthful at times as well. But have you ever gone on a church retreat or a church weekend away? Did you ever become aware of that generation gap? The younger generation had its agenda to play, especially all night long. The older generation had its agenda to teach them and get them to bed so they could sit and have a glass of wine. Or, if you're strict and particular Baptist, a cup of tea. The older generation had their agenda and the younger generation had their agenda. Of course, you don't have to go on a church weekend away to be aware of the generation gap that is in our churches. You just have to be a parent of a teenager or a child or an adolescent child of a parent. Did your parents ever tell you to turn down that racket or change into something more modest? You ever heard that? No. Some of you are saying no, but some of you are saying yes. Or change into something more modest. Did your parents ever express discontent with your music or your clothes? Proverbs 20, verse 29 tells us about the generation gap. God does not despise either the young or the old, the youth or the age. Rather, he says that the generations need each other. And that's what I want to draw out tonight, is that actually in the church of God, we need both the generations to work together. The glory of the young is their strength, grey hair, the splendour of the old. And so what I want to say from the offset is this, that we actually, as a church, not just this church, but all church all around the world, we need to work together, both in our generations, both young and old, to continue to build the kingdom. Some of you would have heard me say from this platform that I remember when I was a youth pastor many, many years ago, that I persuaded one of my church members, then 86 years old at the time, to be a cell leader. He was probably the best cell leader any of those young people ever had. People said that he couldn't do it, and I said he could, and he did, until he died just about 5 months ago. So I want to think, for us to think tonight about how we actually need each other. But actually what I'm going to say is, actually, I'm going to refer to young people in what the scripture says about young people. I'm going to refer to what scripture says about old people. But I want to say also that actually there are some old people who are not full of wisdom and wise. They're quite the opposite. And there are some young people who actually might get described as being something that they're not as well. So I want you to understand that. When I say young people and when I say old people, yeah, you might say, well, actually, that's not true. I know some old people that aren't wise and aren't holy. Well, yeah, that's true. And then I'm going to talk tonight about how young people have strength and they have energy. And you'll say, well, I know some young people that don't have any strength and don't have energy. So just want to make that clear before we go on. So, we'll start with the younger generation. It says there in Proverbs 20, verse 29, say that the younger generation, it says there in the text, that the glory of the men or women is their strength. Endless energy characterizes young people. Children will run and play all day. Students seem to require no sleep at all. Is that right, Pete? Yes. Emma? Yes. Natalie? Yes. I thought it was. Students seem to require no sleep. Young people have a thirst for learning. Adult children can help their parents to understand that. But youth, however, have an energy to also be distracted. And it says there in the scripture that actually the glory of the young is their strength, but actually young people also have the opportunity to be distracted at times. And we've heard a little bit of that already. But however we think about it, what this text is talking about is how young people have the energy and the strength in their youth to do many good things for the glory of God. A child's curiosity sometimes leads to disaster, because they want to open cabinets with things in that they shouldn't touch. High school students or students that go to secondary school sometimes explore sexuality, drugs and alcohol. University students sometimes party and not do academic things. Young adults sometimes marry for the wrong reasons, etc., etc. But this text is saying, actually, what responsibility do you have? And when we look in Scripture, I'm not going to go through it all, but in Proverbs 7:7, and in Proverbs 14:15, it talks there about how young people are really, really important. But it talks there about how young people need to be trained and resourced and equipped to serve God in the church. You all know, as well as I know, that actually when we were small infants, we needed somebody, our parents or our aunties or our uncles, to help us and to build us up in our lives. But the same true is about our faith in Jesus. We need people to work alongside us to build up our faith in Jesus. But also the most powerful thing about young people is they have energy and zeal and excitement. And so often you can use that for good, and so often you can use that for bad. And this text is saying, actually, when you have strength, the glory of the young man or the young woman is their strength. And there it's speaking about how actually God wants you to use your energy and your excitement and all the things that God has given to you for his glory and for his honor. He doesn't want you to use it for things that will distract him away from you, away from him, but he wants you to use that energy and that excitement for actually the strength that the Lord has given you now. He wants you to use that for his work and his service. I've been delighted to hear some stories just in the last few days about some of our young people that want to use that energy and that strength that God has given them to tell their friends about Jesus, to go on mission, to re-engage in their schools and their colleges next year. But the thing is, as well, that actually for those people who may have some grey hairs, and I'm not going to draw attention to who you are, but you know who you are. There's a few of you in front of me, less to my right, but more in front, well, apart from Mr. Wheeler and myself. But actually, the glory of the young is their strength. But actually, the grey hair is the splendour of the old. Let me just say something to you, and it simply is this. The army would never take a raw recruit and put him on the front lines. That he would surely be killed in his first activity of going onto the front line. A raw army recruit must be trained in basic training. He must be prepared for the things that he's going to face, so that when he then goes to face those things, he can face them well, and he can face them supported and strengthened by those who are around him. You see, the thing is here that young people need old people, and old people need young people. You see, that's what this text is saying. It's saying there's young people that have strength, use it for the glory of God. But actually it's saying that those who, grey hair is the splendor of the old. It's talking there about how people who have grey hair, most probably most of you, and I've got a little as well, the older generation don't want to admit that they have grey hair, but so often grey hair is a sign of old age, and with old age you've experienced a bit more life than you have when you were first born. Now I know some people who are 15 years old who have got grey hair, but they just have to cope with that. I don't know anybody in South America with grey hair, because men and women dye their hair there. My wife always tells me I've got grey hair. I said, you've got it as well, but nobody can see it. But actually, the reality is this, that actually it speaks here about grey hair. It speaks about the older generation have a bit more wisdom, a bit more understanding of life. They've gone through a few of the things that the young people haven't gone through yet. They've experienced the things that the young haven't experienced. And this passage is actually talking about that actually the grey-haired people, let's refer them to as an older people, they've experienced the ups and downs in life. They've experienced the troubles. They've experienced the worries. They've experienced the things that have been difficult. And what this passage, I think, is really saying to us is actually those two things need to work together and not separate. Those two things need to work together and not separate. And actually, there'll be some of us this evening, maybe, who are a little bit older in age, who say, well, I'm tired, I've done my bit. I can't do what I used to do. I've heard that from some. I can't do what I used to do anymore. I haven't got enough strength in me. I'm tired. And that just happens, doesn't it, in life? The older we get, the more tired we get. But that's okay. But we've still got a responsibility. The older we get and the greyer we get, we've still got a responsibility to share that wisdom and that knowledge with our young people. But also, let me turn that on its head, our young people have also got some things to share with us. They would have seen some things last week that some of you have never seen in your life. And some of you need to see what they saw last week. And some of you need to hear the stories of the shaking and the crying and the wobbling and all that jazz. Because that wasn't anything to be scared about. That was the power of God moving among them. And one of the reasons why we're doing this new teaching series on spiritual gifts is because we believe that we want to see more evidently in this church the spiritual gifts being fulfilled. I haven't seen them for a long time here, and we need to see them more actively involved. But actually, you can learn from them, and they can learn from you. And I think that's what this passage is saying. It's saying, actually, why don't we teach each other? And as we teach each other, then God's kingdom is built. And one of the most wonderful things to me is, as many of you will know, I have somebody who's much older than me. How much older than me? She's 37 years older than me. Who's just that little bit older, a little bit grayer, has a little bit more wisdom, who has experienced life a little bit more than I have. And there's times, even in my age of 41, he'll sit down with me and he'll say, "You know what, Scott? If I only had the strength that you had, I would do this and this and this." And I sometimes take guidance from that, because he's got a lot of wisdom. And the things that maybe he didn't do, maybe I could do for the glory of God today. And so actually, when we think of this psalm, when we think of this proverb, we think of actually, it talks about unity. The glory of the young men and women is their strength. And I want to simply say to our young people, wherever you are and whoever's listening online, is actually God wants you to use the strength and the excitement that you have tonight. There's a lot of excitement tonight among you. He wants you to use that for his glory. He wants you to use that for his praise. He wants you to use that so that God will shine through you and others will come to faith in God because of you. And you will know, and I know, because I was only young a while ago, that actually the strength that I had when I was a young person, I could use that for positive gain. I could use that for negative activity. Is that not true today as well? The strength that the Lord gives to young people, they can use it positively and they can use it negatively. And I want to encourage you all, as this proverb says, the glory of God in young people is their strength. So use that strength to glorify God. Use it to testify to God. Use it to share with others about what God has done in your life these last few weeks. But that energy that you have, because you don't want to sleep at night, the energy that you have, use that for the glory of God. But I want to say to us, for those of us who may have a little bit of grey hair on our heads, we have a responsibility too. We have a responsibility not to be people that look down on young people, to think that we know better than them, because the reality is that we don't, and they don't know better than us. But we're called as God's family to work together, to share of our experiences together, so the kingdom of God is built up. Now, dare I say it, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe some of our young people might look over here and say, "They're an old bunch of fuddy-duddies." You ever thought that? Never. Yeah, yeah. You say never, but I hear you in the corridors. So, but actually, I want to say to you that actually, in God's family, there's many of us, both young and old, that we can share experiences. I want to tell you a story of a lady. She was 87 years old. A lady in white, middle-class suburbia. She was 87 years old, and we had a young person in the church when I was a youth pastor, who actually, she was a great young person, but just for a while, she went off the rails a little bit, and she stopped coming to church, and she went clubbing, and to cut a long story short, she just went away from the Lord, and a few months later, she came back to the church. In tears, and she said, I've done something that's so, so bad." And I said, "Okay, well, do you want to talk to Aunt Jeanette and me?" And they said, "Well, I will, but I'm not really sure what you're going to do." So then, cut a long story short, she came up to us and she told us, she said, "You know, I've been out and I met this guy and we just had this relationship and then we had sex and now I'm expecting twins." So, of course, what I said to her was, come to church. Sit in the same chair that you used to sit in." She said, "There's no way I'm going to come to church." But probably the most upsetting part of the story is that when she came to church and when people found out what had happened was the way that people responded. But this 87-year-old lady, she even had an old name as well, Doris. That's kind of a fairly old name. And her name was Doris. And as people in the congregation just walked away from her, she went and sat next to her. And as she sat next to her, you could hear everybody go, "Well, you didn't hear, you just saw." She put her arm around her and she said to her, "We're going to walk together. I'm going to stand with you." And she knew that the leadership were behind her as well. And for months and months, she sat next to her. when everybody else just went. But I never forget the day that the children were born and came to church, and at the dedication of the children, Doris got up and she shared a story. And she said, you know what? When I was 18 and I went off the rails, and you know those two children that I have, that I don't know who their father is, a whole gasp in the church. Oh, you think they're mine? Well, they are mine, but, oh, Henry? No, that's not their dad. She said, I was grateful that somebody, I was upset that nobody sat next to me. So I knew, before she even came to church, and before you already told me, I knew what had already happened. And then she shared that story about when she needed somebody, nobody helped her. And I think that was a really powerful story about young and old working together, walking side by side. And I think that's what this passage talks about. Not to that extreme, but it does talk about how actually we are called to work together. I love the energy that young people have. And I pray that you'll use it for the glory of God. But I also know that there's many of us who experience so much of life that we might be able to help some of you along the journey and along the way. Not to patronize you, not to speak down to you, but just to be one of you. And I think that's what that passage talks about. And I want to encourage us to do that. I want to encourage our young people to use the strength that God's given them for his glory. I want to encourage those of us who are a little bit older in age with grey hair to be an encouragement, to be a support, to be a prayer network for our young people in our church so they can grow and flourish. And can't you see clearly in that passage that it's not about one and it's not about the other? Somebody said to me just this morning, it was really nice, they said to me, I'm in my new life group and it's not just full of old people like me. Now I know some are full, they're all a bit of a mix. She said, it's really, really amazing. Maybe I'll get a bit more strength back now because I'm around people that have got a bit more energy. We need each other. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask us to do something. But I'm going to pray before I ask us to do something because I need the Lord to be with us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Father God, just for the energy and the excitement that youth brings to the life of the church. And Lord, I pray and thank you for what has happened at Soul Survivor and what has happened over the years in this place. It didn't just happen at Soul Survivor. It did happen before and it will happen after. But Lord, I pray for our young people that they will use the strength and the energy and excitement that they have for the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, that the splendor of the old, the wisdom of the old, that we would be able to share some of that wisdom, not judgmentally, but lovingly, not thinking we know better, but just full of compassion. And that actually we will be a people that actually value each other. That we value each other, we walk together with each other, we sit with each other, we talk with each other, we pray with each other. But there wouldn't be a generation gap, but we would be together because we're one in Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask us to do something now. And I think some of you might dislike me for it, but I think it's probably what I want to do is, let's do it, I think. I'm nervous. I've become a very nervous person. I want to ask the young people, I know this is a really big thing for you to do, okay? And for you as well, I want us just for the next couple of minutes, I want us to move around, okay? And I want, it's going to be big, okay? I want some of you to move and pray for some of our young people. I want some of our young people, now if you don't want to do it, you don't have to, yeah? But I'd really like you to. I want you to get up and I want you just to go and find somebody and I want them to pray for you. Is that, I'm looking for my other leaders, but I can't see any, but I'll just do it. Is that okay? So what I want you to do, okay, and if you're visiting tonight and think, I don't want to pray with anybody I don't know, we'll just pray with the person next to you. We'll just speak to Jesus for a minute and we'll come back to you in a second. Is that okay? So can you help me out? Come on, guys. Help me out. I love you all. Come on. Stand up. Why don't you lead the way? So you go and find somebody there. I want you to pray for one thing for them, and I want them to pray for one thing for you. Can we do that? Ready, steady, go. Try and pray with somebody that you might not know, or like, go. And Jack, you're young. Go and do a bit of shaking. And some of you might have to gather, two or three might have to gather around young people. Yeah? Oh? No, that's okay. You go and be prayed for. That's fine. Okay, so move around. Try not to go to the people you know. Go to somebody different if you can. Be courageous. If you're not praying with somebody, go and find the young people. Go and attach yourself. So Bruce and Linda, you could turn around and pray for Jess. Who else? Emma? Linda Cornwall, Alan Cornwall, why don't you pray for Emma? Go and pray for Emma. She'll need a little prayer. Anybody else? And if you haven't got a young person next to you, why don't you just pray for them? Ready, steady, go. That sounds like a lot of talking. Come on, pray. Try and pray for some people that you don't know as well. Adults, why don't you pray as well for them? Wherever you're sat, just pray for our young people. Let them pray for you too. Paul, can you pray for Mr. Brown? George Brown. Go and pray for George Brown. Good. Right. What I want to... Before you leave, try and draw your prayers to a close, but before you leave those people, you might not know their names, yeah? So I want you to tell each other your names, because you might not know their names, yeah? And what I want you to do is I want you to pray for each other today and tomorrow. I want you to pray for each other for as long as, I don't want to put, you know, you got to just pray for them till 2 weeks on Tuesday, then that's it. Just pray for them. So whoever you're sat next to, Jack, get their names and pray for them. And Paige, whoever you're sat to, get their name and pray for them as well. Yeah, and I want you to do something really courageous and bold in the next couple of weeks and months. When you see them in church, I want you to do two things. I want you just, both sides, so the young person and the older person, I just want you to ask them how they're doing and just get a little update on those prayer requests. Is that okay? Is that, it's not that radical, it's just church. Is that okay? So don't look so worried, yeah? So, and if that person was a parent, then find somebody a bit close to them and then you maybe tell somebody else in the church so you can get to know somebody else in the church as well. We're going to continue. And if you need to pray a bit more, would you do that? Don't stop. And we're going to sing a song together, which is a new song, which is a great song. And it speaks a lot about how God is our good, good Father. Do you know that God's our good Father? It's good to know that, isn't it, really? I think it's what keeps us going sometimes. So if you're able to stand and sing with us, if you want to continue to pray, do that. But we're going to sing this song together, Good Father. And we can do it without Connor. I'll play the guitar. Let's do it. Great, so that's amazing. So we're really delighted in that. And give him a round of applause, that's fine. And we're gonna sing this song. And I want to say to the young people, because I know some of you text me when you're away, just write to me. Let's just get the waters open and let's get some baptizing done. Because I know some of you want to be baptized. And I'm going to be running a baptism course myself in the next few weeks. We'll probably just do it over coffee in Costa or something. But let's get the waters open. And let's get baptized in you, because I know some of you want to get baptized. Write me an email, because I'm scary to talk to, seemingly. I'm sorry about that. I try to be open. But send me an email this week, and we'll have a coffee, we'll get chatting, and we'll get in the water soon. Because I know that God's spoken to quite a few of you, and you believe that God wants you to get baptized. So let's just do it. Amen? Let's sing together. Good, good Father.